Izamit Carr, and I'm Telly Concepcion, and together we are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. We go beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. So come learn, grow, and have some fun with us. We are Beyond the Numbers Podcast. My number for the day is 270. It's a number we've been hearing way too much. I gotta admit, I didn't think I'd hear about this number so much. 270 for our international listeners is the number of electoral college votes necessary to become president in the United States of America. I, as many others, was glued to CNN and learned actually that we could end things in a tie. 269 to 269 is crazy, but possible. We also have a chance to see the same margin as we did in 2016. I'll just leave that at that.
My number is one. Telly, we have our first female GM in the four major pro sports leagues in the U.S. Kim Ong is the GM for the Miami Marlins. Long overdue, since she was the assistant general manager with the Yankees when they won their first three World Series rings from 98 to the year 2000. She is by far the most qualified first-time general manager in the history of baseball.
Before the business, Beyonders, it's time for Before the Business, where we answer your unanswered questions and find the numbers that went unfound in previous episodes. You guys know I'm just a kid from Tampa Bay, Florida, living life. Well, we got to the World Series. It didn't turn out the way we wanted it to turn out, but it's all right. We got there. We beat out 30 other teams. We got Thomas Brady. The Super Bowl's in Tampa. And now we're getting, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. So we had a chance at the COVID Triple Crown. We didn't quite get there. But now we are getting an NBA team, Amit. People love Tampa so much. We're going to get the NBA. Because the Toronto Raptors have identified Tampa, Florida as an option to be their home market for the 2020-2021 season if they are unable to play in Canada, team sources told ESPN. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic sweeping the globe, as we all know, the Canadian government requires any non-essential travelers to quarantine for 2 weeks upon arrival in Canada. Meeting that requirement would be a challenge for a team scheduled to fly into town for a handful of days to play the Raptors. So the Raptors are considering Tampa Bay as their next home. And Amit, this is the same issue the Toronto Blue Jays had, and this is why they had to play in Buffalo, New York. But as we talked about before recording, it only takes one. Oklahoma City hosted a team because of Hurricane Katrina, and lo and behold, a year or two later, they were given a team. So I'm just saying, we just got to do a good job hosting, and we will have a team soon. For now, it is Tampa Bay Raptors, the Tampa Bay Raptors.
Because they don't have to pay income tax in the state of Florida if they call that home.
Come on, we got,
because you're definitely not coming to Tampa to get away from COVID. Florida is not the state
to get away from. Can't go anywhere and get away from COVID right now.
Yeah, but you compare Florida. You got the water,
you got tax-free living, you got the bay, you got fishing, you got dancing, you got nightlife, you got whatever you want, whatever you need in Tampa. We're also in strong consideration to be an NHL host city for the 2020-21 season. So we will see Super Bowl hosting NHL host city and Tampa Bay Raptors possible with the Tampa Bay Rays back in action and the Bucks. Well, we won't talk about the Bucks. We'll talk about the Bucks later.
Yeah, later. We talked about the lack of black baseball players in the MLB and many of the challenges the black players face in working their way up the minor league system. Well, in this 2020 shortened season, the rookie of the year went to Kyle Lewis, outfielder of the Seattle Mariners in the American League, and Devin Williams, a reliever for the Brewers in the National League, both African-American players. They are the first black players to sweep the awards, since 1984 when Dwight, Doc Gooden, and Alvin Lewis both won the awards. After learning that he had won the award, Kyle Lewis was quoted as saying, "When you don't see anyone that looks like you, it doesn't feel like it's attainable in a way." And I think that was one of the themes that we talked about early when we had our episode specifically addressing diversity in Major League Baseball and the minor league system. Devin Williams was quoted as saying, "Participation is always important. I feel like you need someone who looks like you to show you that it's possible." Well, gentlemen, Kyle Lewis, Devin Williams, you have both shown many young African-American players that it is possible. I'm proud of both of these young stars in the league, and I look forward to talking about them both for many years to come.
Shouts out, man. Shouts out. That's huge. We've talked about diversity, inclusion. Shouts out to your number of the day as well, having an Asian woman now representing in the ranks of GM and baseball. We need more managers, more GMs, and more players. And I think if we can work from the top down, we can definitely get more players in the game as well, because culturally, we'll be able to speak that language and get more guys involved, excited, and playing in the sport. And that's a great thing. Diversity is great for sports and life. Lastly, before the business, Ahmed, I want to talk about my Florida Gators. We talked about this last week. You said go Gators. We did not disappoint you. Florida came out with the 44-28 victory over the Georgia Bulldogs in Jacksonville this weekend. But what I want to talk about very seriously is the hit. Everyone saw, if you watched the game, you saw the hit. They call it the biggest hit in college football this season, possibly in the last couple of seasons. Lewis Sin should be suspended, in my opinion, for at least a year, as he targeted viciously Kyle Pitts. He got the worst of it, but Kyle Pitts is out this week. Kyle Pitts, we've talked about before in previous episodes, is scheduled to make his money this year, Ahmed. The Kyle to Kyle connection, the best tight end in college football right now. But he has concussion symptoms. Having been a football player myself, I know how serious these injuries can be. You know, this could be life-altering. And I've seen older guys who played back in the day and suffered from concussion. So I really do think he should be suspended for a year at the very least. It was in triple coverage. He could have pulled up. Somebody was going to get Kyle Pitts down. There's no way he gets out of that triple coverage. That was, to me, was shameful to lower your helmet, hit with the crown of your head Kyle Pitts in his helmet, and both of you getting knocked out. That's brain injuries. That's something we don't want. Keep it clean. Keep it fun. Rivalries are fun, but we don't want guys losing their life or having a lower quality of life because of stuff like that. So, you know, that's all I had to say about that. I was very hyped during the game during that part. Lastly, Luke Bryant. Bye, Luke Bryant. Bye, Georgia. Also, we took care of y'all, but also thank you for the state of Georgia. That was officially called today. Like we said, for football, we ain't for Georgia. For life, we for Georgia. Now let's get back to the business. For our first story, the NBA 2021 season has set its start date. The parties, which is the NBA and the NBA Players Association, have agreed in principle to the following. For the 2020-2021 season to begin Tuesday, December 22nd, and that the 2020-2021 season will feature each team playing a full 72-game regular season and broadcast schedules to be released at a future date. The numbers for this story, 72, 109.1 million, 132.6 million, 3%, and 10%. As mentioned, there will be a full 72-game season. There was initially talks of having another shortened season, but they will have a full 72-game season. The salary cap is going to be set at $109.1 million, and the luxury tax will be at $132.6 million. The same numbers they were during the 2019-2020 season before the league's finances took a drastic hit as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. 3% The salary cap is going to be guaranteed to go up by a minimum of 3% per year and a maximum of 10% through the remainder of the collective bargaining agreement and 10%. The two sides also came up with a compromise on the escrow system, which we'll explain in the piece, to spread the losses out across multiple seasons. The typical escrow withholding of 10% will remain in place. This was probably the most contentious part of bringing the NBA season back and what was holding the players from signing on.
For those of you that don't know, the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association announced this week that they've reached an agreement in principle on the start of the 2020-21 season, as well as adjustments to certain provisions of the current collective bargaining agreement impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. The agreement is subject to a vote by the league's board of governors.
So the pre-pandemic projections for a non-COVID 2020-21 basketball season was $9 billion in revenue. And we're going to get used to saying that 10 times fast, right? I'm 2020-21 basketball season. So the pre-pandemic projections was $9 billion in revenue. The breakdown, I feel like, is really important here before we get into a conversation about what this next season will look like. So typically in the NBA, 50% of revenues, so half of the revenues come from TV contracts, 10% of revenues come from other sources. So think about your Nike shoe contract, the jersey sales, and things of that nature, video game licensing. And then 40% of income comes from arenas. So you're talking about ticket sales, season ticket sales, hot dogs, sodas, etc. That is a $3.5 billion slice of the pie. That is a big question mark at the time being, because we don't know if fans, and we're pretty sure now December 22nd is not that far from now, we're recording this Friday, November 13th, that COVID will change and they'll be all of a sudden have packed arenas, right? So we're pretty certain that 3.5 billion won't be there, or won't be there in the same amount. Players and owners in the NBA typically split revenues 50-50, which is pretty amazing. That's pretty astounding that the players and the owners split 50-50. And the salary cap is based on that split, right? So the salary cap is based on half of the projected incomes that you would make. Obviously, the pandemic has thrown a wrench in that system. So basketball, the NBA came up with a new calculation system this year called BRI, or basketball related income. It's a new system to be used to ensure that the parties, and when we say parties, we're talking about the NBA and then the Players Association, to ensure that the parties agreed upon split of basketball related income is even. So in the event player compensation were to exceed the player's designated share in any season, necessary salary reductions beyond the standard 10% escrow would be spread across that season and potentially the following two seasons, subject to a maximum salary reduction in any season of 20%. Teams' tax payments will be reduced in proportion to any BRI decreases. And we wanted to define this for you guys, right? So what is BRI? What's basketball related income? I touched on a little bit. This is a list just so you get a better idea and a better sense of what it is. It includes regular season ticket sales, national broadcast rights, exhibition ticket sales, playoff ticket sales, concession and merchandise sales, 50% of fixed arena signage. And Amit, you and I, when we were pre-planning this event, we were surprised by that. That was a surprise to me. 50% of luxury suite sales, 50% of the arena naming rights, also another interesting one, international broadcasting rights, premium seat licenses, 50% of practice facility naming rights, yes, that exists, revenue pertaining to the selling of BRI rights, gambling revenues, which we see is steadily increasing as states have voted to legalize gambling, parade revenues, I didn't know parades made money, but I guess parade revenues, and 50% of stadium tour and ATM fees. And in full disclosure, Amit and I didn't know if this meant stadium tours as in somebody just wanted to go check out the stadium and pays a couple hundred bucks to get a tour of the stadium, or if this is like if Kiss goes on tour, right, and uses the stadium and they get 50% of that.
I have to believe it's anyone coming through and doing a basketball related stadium tour. But the ATM fees, Telly.
ATM fees. Take cash. Take cash. Straight cash, homie. You got to take your cash to the stadium. I didn't know that. And like we talked about, the naming rights is pretty interesting because the owner of the team could technically own the stadium, right? The owner of the team could own it as an individual, could own the stadium. The team can own the stadium, but also wherever the stadium is located, like in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium is owned by Tampa Bay Sports Authority, right? It's owned by the city. So that's interesting that half of that money goes to the league.
Some of these basketball related incomes are, I feel like, a little bit of a stretch, but it's nice to see that the league and the teams have such a close relationship in terms of revenue sharing. Earlier in the piece, you talked about escrow. So I wanted to go into escrow a little bit, right? So the two sides, when they came up with their compromise on the escrow system, they wanted to make sure they spread the losses across multiple seasons. As for the escrow, which is the amount of money withheld from players in case the league doesn't meet revenue projections, it will remain at a standard 10% of the total at the start of the season. If there is a need to reduce player salaries by more than 10%, so if they need to put more than 10% into that escrow, that loss will be spread out over this current season along with the following two seasons that are coming up. So the player can never have more than 20% of their salary withheld in a single season. And that I think was gonna probably be that main piece, right, Telly, that got them moving in the right direction to start this season up?
Yes, that's putting it mildly, because the original proposal was 40%, basically taking out that 40% of the pie that we mentioned, right? The 40% of the pie being revenues from stadiums, taking that out and asking the players, hey, take a 40% hit on your paycheck, take a 40% hit on your contract and play this season, and then we'll see where we're at next season. So this is huge because, you know, for example, Steph Curry, to give you guys an example, could lose up to $17 million. He's set to make $43 million this upcoming season, and now he would only make $25.8 million. With the new agreement, 10% would be in escrow, so that means $4.3 million would go in escrow. And it's fair because then the players and the owners are taking on the same amount of risk. That pie that they share 50-50 won't be there, so they're asking the players to participate in some of the risk. I know we're talking about big numbers and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, especially COVID-19. There's a lot of people not working right now. There's a lot of people that have lost their jobs. So regardless, Steph Curry is going to make a ton of money. No one is debating that. Like, I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, let's cry because he's only going to make $25.8 million instead of his $43 million. But I always try to put myself in these guys' shoes and then scale it down, right? And we talked about this with baseball as well. If your boss came to you and said, hey, take a 40% pay cut next year and then we'll see where we're at, all of our jobs would drop. So let's remove the final number figure that they're going to make. If we were asked to take a 40% pay cut, all our jobs would drop and we'd want to know why. So I'm glad that they were able to close the gap on that. That's making basketball possible next season because the players were gaffing at having to take a 40% pay cut next season.
Yeah, and it looks like, as you stated earlier, the salary cap for this season will be the same as the 2019-2020 season. And we're going to have a cap set at $109.1 million and a luxury tax that will be set at $132.6 million. Free agent negotiations will begin on November 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern, with signings starting at midnight on November 22nd. The salary cap is going to be guaranteed to go up a minimum of 3%, as you stated earlier, per year, and a maximum of 10% through the remainder of the collective bargaining agreement. They've set the groundwork to keep some sort of peace between the players and the owners for a while.
Yeah, and just a quick recap here again for the Beyonders out there that may not be familiar. Collective bargaining agreement is basically the players association, so the union of players and the owners have agreed to collectively bargained. These are the terms they've agreed to in the past. They're basically keeping that in place. Now, if this would have got ripped up for a specialty season of 2020-2021, then it would have to be renegotiated, or the owners could push to tear it up. We don't know the financial future of the league. We don't know how serious or when COVID-19 will pass. So this gives both sides a little bit of protection on their investment, basically going forward in principle to honor the agreements as they were set.
You know, we're talking about the collective bargaining agreement and the CBA. It's going to be valid. This current CBA is valid through the 2023-2024 season. So they've got a couple of years of peace ahead of them as they work through this. And I point that out because there were significant differences between what happened in basketball and what happened in baseball, because baseball CBA expires this coming year, December 2021. So the contention at the end, and knowing that they're heading into some rough waters coming up, added to the negotiations there. Whereas this, definitely they've got more runway to figure things out.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because we did talk about that in a previous episode, and it's the reason we got a 60-game season, right? The players wanted a longer season because obviously you play more games, you get paid more, and they wanted to play a longer season so it's more representative in baseball. Obviously, the numbers matter in baseball. The longer the season, the more record, the more representative the teams are that make it all the way in baseball, but also the more you get paid because you get game checks. So it was really important. The NBA was looking at a $600 million loss by not starting December 22nd, by starting next year, which again, we'll get to. But I want to give you guys an example here. If the changes in the luxury tax drop, if it drops from a projected $8.45 billion to $5.9 billion, a 30% decline, the Golden State Warriors' projected luxury tax bill would be reduced from $60 million to $42 million. Another way the luxury tax relief could benefit Golden State is with regard to potentially using its $17.2 million trade exemption generated by trading away Andre Iguodala last summer. If the Warriors were to acquire a player for that full amount in a trade, their tax bill would increase to $149 million. A reduction to league-wide revenue, however, could slice up to $45 million off of that total number. So that's what we're talking about here. Like, those things affect how the front offices of teams operate, what players they can bring in at what price, and what the tax cost of that would be, what the liability would be.
Still want Giannis.
If we pay Giannis, now's the year to do it, because, you know, by keeping the luxury tax where it is, basically we'll have an exempt year or two.
Well, it's good. It's actually glad you brought that up. As of right now, there are four teams, the Warriors, the Nets, the Celtics, and the 76ers, that are in the luxury tax. Though that number is likely to increase because the cap and tax will now remain flat, right? So there's not going to be an increase. So likely other teams will creep into that. But those four teams, look at that. The Warriors, your champions coming into next season, right? They've had the most rest.
My preseason champs, the Golden State Warriors, New York Nets.
Who paid a ton of money. We'll see what Kevin Durant can do.
I predict the Knicks will be on this list before long, because they're going to bring in Russell Westbrook. They're going to bring in James Harden. They're going to bring in Chris Paul. They're going to get all three of those guys on the New York Knicks, sell some tickets, and pay luxury tax.
And still only win 32 games.
Well, all three of them play the same position pretty much. So, yes, yeah, that would make sense.
They'll win 32 games. It'd be great.
So the player reaction to all this, right? We're going to have basketball next season. So I think most of the players are ecstatic. Some players have pushed back and are concerned about such a quick turnaround from last season. Players were initially hesitant about starting the season prior to Christmas and had been pushing for a January 18th start on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Eventually, however, as mentioned, the financial incentives for starting the season early proved too enticing. Again, the league collectively, it's a 50-50 split. The league would lose $600 million on it if they do not play basketball, start playing basketball December 22nd. I think that kind of contributed to the decision-making, because as we discussed in our meeting yesterday, to me, in a perfect world, the basketball season would start when the football season ends, right? Like the week before the Super Bowl, or the week of, or the week after the Super Bowl, because nobody watches basketball until the All-Star break. The All-Star break, and then you're like, whoa, these are the good teams, these are the bad ones.
When it comes to basketball, you have a pretty good idea who's going to be good and who's going to be bad and who's going to make it fairly early in the season. But you're right. Most people just watch playoff basketball, right? Second half and then the playoffs. And it would be, this would be a great time to make those adjustments and have those leagues and those seasons kind of fit into each other more like a puzzle. But that they had 600 million reasons not to wait.
And yeah, and like you said, you're competing with football, which everybody watches universally, right? Like football is the number one sport in the United States. I think everybody watches football. So you got football you're competing with. If you push it back, basketball stands alone for a little bit with spring training. Then you get baseball to start up. So you're watching basketball and baseball. Then basketball ends. You get the baseball playoffs right around, starting right around that time. And then college football, and then football starts. I think as Americans, that's the type of setup that we would like. Like you said, more of a puzzle piece. Like, how would it make more sense to watch the most sports and have sports coverage all year? Because there are dead spots in sports in this country during the summertime where it's like, okay, there's not enough sports on right now. And some sport, all the sports leagues would benefit for that, because then they wouldn't be competing against each other for eyeballs and dollars and revenue, et cetera, et cetera.
You'd at least get rid of that void, right? There's always that couple of weeks void where you're just like, there's nothing on anymore.
Yeah, so. And there's a few million people, I'm willing to bet, that are in the, if you do a pie graph, that love all sports no matter what it is. Like, they're watching golf, they're watching hockey, they're watching football, basketball, whatever's on TV, they're watching it. And that's the guy you can get more attention from if you spread out sports. Also, new people might come into the fold, right? Someone who only watches football, doesn't watch basketball because they start at the same time, might fall in love with the sport of basketball because it's filling that void after football ended. So I think
you're that not wrong. But unfortunately, $600 million, that's a motivator.
That is a motivator. But we found something else very interesting, Amit, about this negotiation and about this restart of the NBA season.
No bubble.
Yeah,
there's that was no one of our favorite bubble.
Segments. Bubble Telly, news. We can't bring it news. Back. We can't bring it back if they're not in a bubble. But in all seriousness, you know, and you and I were talking about this, December 22nd is approximately a month and a week from now, from today. Is COVID all of a sudden going to change? Numbers are on the rise around the country. Does it make sense to have basketball players traveling? If fans are in the stands, what is the advantage to having home, quote unquote, home games, right? And also, you have to follow the laws within the local municipality, the local city, county, etc. And some places are on lockdown, meaning you can't have more than 20, 25 people in a building. I'm pretty sure it takes more than 25 people to put on a basketball game when you start talking about the guys that wipe the court, the scorekeepers, the broadcasters, then the players, the coaches, et cetera, right?
We're going to have the same issue that you saw the Raptors have, right? There are some states where if you travel in there, you have to quarantine, right?
Yeah, New York being one of them.
Yeah.
New York being one of them, yep.
So these measures will change, and the leagues will have to adjust as they travel. But you know what, Telly? We will have a non-bubble news as the season starts.
Non-bubble news. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It doesn't have the ring to
it. But we'll make it work. We'll make it work. And I'll be interested to see. I'll be interested to see if they have the same COVID protocols. Because if they have the same protocols, but they're not in the bubble, expect to see what you saw in the NFL and in college football.
And
a
baseball.
Lot of guys and baseball and basketball is going to be tougher, right? You've got smaller teams. You got a smaller number of players on that roster. You lose three or four guys, all of a sudden, right? You have no idea what that season's going to look like.
Oh, yeah. And some guys, you know, they can't stay away from the wings. They got to have lemon pepper, honey lemon pepper, barbecue wings from certain places. You know what I'm saying? If guys start doing that, then you're going to see outbreaks all across the league. Also with the travel, They're not going to stay still in the city. I know one of your favorite basketball players in New York City, when he used to play there, he used to go on 2 a.m. jogs through Central Park. I'm talking about J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
He used to go bike riding. He used to put on his Instagram and his Twitter, "Meet me at the park. I'm bored. I want to go on a 2 a.m. jog. Yes, I know I have a game tomorrow at 2 p.m., but I want to go on a 2 a.m. run, meet the fans, and hang out." You can't do that.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, right? The NBA still has a little over 2 months to kind of solidify what those protocols are going to look like, but we'll be interested to see, and as they come through, we'll share.
It's time for our new segment, NFL Nuggets, where we go beyond the numbers and bring you the stories within the story of the stories that matter within the NFL. So NFL Nuggets, beyond the numbers of the NFL Week 9. We'll get to my Bucks, unfortunately, later. But that bad man, Aaron Rodgers, is balling right now. From 2017 to 2019, he had three games with four or more passing touchdowns. In 2020, Amit, four games with four or more passing touchdowns. Also, they did not get him any receivers before the trade deadline. I don't know who he's throwing to. I don't know any of these guys.
It's wild. It's wild to see his production over there. But he's a bad man. The not-so-bad man, Daniel Jones, is 4-0 against the Washington football team. Unfortunately, he's also 1-16 against all other teams. So, my mind, it's time to draft Justin Fields, figure it out. I know we're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. That's specifically there for the Jets. But I think Justin Fields may be their next choice. Your real stud fact for Mr. Jones, he is averaging 8 yards per rushing attempt this season. That ranks number one amongst all players with a minimum of 40 rushing attempts. The next closest is Kyler Murray with 7.1 yards per attempt. That's and crazy. You know what? If he didn't trip on his own trip, it probably would have been 9-10 yards.
If the turf monster didn't get him, he probably would have had a 10 yards per rush attempt.
It's wild.
It was crazy because he just felt, it's almost like, you know, Mario Kart where you throw the banana ahead of somebody and they just slip and it says, whoa, 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 whoa. Or also it just showed like he got to that top speed like faster than his body could go and he's like, man, I see my teammates do this, I know I can run a 4-2. And he ran the 4-2 and his body was like, dude, we cannot run a 4-2. We can, I know you think we can, but we cannot run a 4-2. That was great. 2 weeks later, it's still better than ever. So Daniel Jones, shouts out, man. I know he's a beyonder. He has a great personality. He laughs at himself. So Danny Dimes, man, we got you. We got you. The Steelers are 8-0 for the first time in franchise history. Think about that. That team won four Super Bowls in the 70s with Terry Bradshaw. Never started 8-0. The most recent teams to start 8-0, the 2019 Patriots and the 2019 49ers, the 2018 Rams, the 2015 Patriots, and the 2015 Bengals, big surprise, 2015 Panthers, the 2013 Chiefs, that's pre-Mahomes for y'all out there that not sure about that, 2007 Patriots, 2012 Falcons, yes, the Falcons were once a good team, and the 2011 Packers, led by Aaron the bad man Rodgers. None of those teams won the Super Bowl though.
And I gotta point out that 2007 Patriots team, they had a perfect regular season. 16-0.
They did it. Don't even say that. It's not perfect unless you win the last one. Your Giants took care of that. That was crazy. David Tyree got it, and he don't have a job no more, but that's okay. He beat the Patriots.
Speaking of the Steelers, Mike Tomlin is now the second coach in NFL history to start his career with 14 seasons with a 500 or higher win percentage. The man has never had a losing season in his 14 seasons in the NFL. Absolutely amazing. The Steelers have also had their 17th straight season with a 500-plus win record since drafting Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. So with all that together, Roethlisberger now owns the record for most career seasons without playing on a sub-500 team in NFL history. It's crazy.
And Ben Roethlisberger from the University of Miami of Ohio. Just in case you didn't know. Patrick Money Mahomes keeps setting records. I mean, we're going to have to attach Badman to his name, too. We're going to have to do that. We might have to do that. Here are his ranks as a quarterback in the first 40 games played ever since 1950. He has 12,099 passing yards. That ranks him first. He has 101 passing touchdowns. That ranks him first. He has a 110.1 passer rating, which also ranks him first. I think it's safe to say that the $500 million investment in Patrick Mahomes is a safe bet.
Yeah, and you could argue that he hasn't even looked his best through week 9.
No, he was hurt last season. He's starting off this season shaky, and I can only imagine if he played in a dome or didn't play in Kansas City where it's snowing or raining half the time and like 30 degrees, what his numbers would be, you know?
Speaking of longevity, the old man Larry Fitzgerald hasn't dropped a pass since week 4 of 2018, Telly. Week 4 of 2018.
The University of... He advertises for the University of Phoenix, the Fighting Phoenixes, but he went to Pitt.
That's right. That's right. Cam Newton is the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era with 8 rushing touchdowns in his first 7 games played in a season. The Patriots may not be doing well, Cam may not look the greatest, but when it comes to rushing TDs, he has been racking them up. And who else but Justin Herbert is now the man that broke Cam Newton's record of 2,103 passing yards in his first 7 starts as a rookie. And that record lasted since 1950.
And Lamar Jackson earned his first career win after trailing at halftime. He was previously 0-6, including the playoffs, but he finally broke through. Shouts out to Lamar. He's a huge beyonder. We're looking forward to more to come from him, the reigning MVP of the league. Time for our duds now, Amit. The Bills' playoff drought is older than Josh Allen. Their last division title was in 1995, and that's following that team that went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row a few years before that. Josh Allen was born in 1996. Take that for data.
The Jets have scored 8 touchdowns this season. Jets jokes. Dalvin Cook has scored 13 touchdowns this season.
The Patriots, we keep talking about the upside down. Stranger Things, that is the season of the Patriots. Bill Belichick complaining about money on it. Since when? We went all in to win Super Bowls. So now we don't have any money and I don't have anybody to coach. We've never heard this before. He's never had anybody to coach before. The only thing I can think of that's missing is a one Thomas Brady and another Mr. Gronkowski. And also 8 Patriots did opt out because of COVID. So let's not be too harsh on the Pats. Shouts out to Heather. I know that's your team. The Patriots have not drafted a Pro Bowler since 2013. Jamie Collins. That's tied with the Bengals for the longest active drought in the NFL. And let me just say one more thing. You never want to be tied with the Bengals for anything.
That's fair. And speaking of the Patriots and their one big missing piece, TB12, Tom Brady has thrown 3 interceptions in a game.
Don't call him that. He's Thomas. He looked like a Thomas on Sunday. Don't call him. No TB12. He's Thomas.
Thomas has thrown 3 interceptions in a game for the first time since a 34-31 loss to Buffalo in week three of the 2011 season. Mm-hmm. And that snapped a streak of 145 consecutive games with 10 or plus passing attempts and fewer than three interceptions. That's the longest such streak by any player since at least 1950. And you've seen a trend. A lot of these stats, 1950 is as far back as they go. Unlike baseball that goes back to 1884 somehow, because they all were stats.
To 1850. Don't it go to 1850?
I know. Sometimes it feels
got a 100-year head start there.
So when we look at Brady's start last week against the Saints, and I know that was a game that was very tough for you to watch, it was Tom Brady's 333rd start, including the playoffs. It was the first one in which his team has trailed by 30 or more points at halftime. He was in uncharted territory. And when it comes to uncharted territory, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have set a record for the fewest rushing attempts recorded in NFL history, or at least since 1933. And that's five rushing attempts, Tully. And please note, one of those rushing attempts was when they took a knee at the end, because those count as rushing attempts. So really, it was four attempts.
I don't even know what to say.
But you know what? You know what? Your boy Leonard Fournette, he's on my fantasy team. He had 41 passing yards, and that was just enough for me to win this week. So I ain't mad.
Amit took that piece because I could not talk about the Buccaneers and the what they did on Sunday at home. The first Sunday night football game in Tampa since 2002. And we just laid an egg. I mean, it's hard to lose that bad of a game. All three phases of the game, that's like a college game to lose 38-3. That was horrible. I mean, I just hope they're throwing a curveball. Maybe Thomas brought some tricks over from Belichick. Make the league think we suck, and now we're going to win the rest of the games. I don't really know what that was. It was just one of those games where nothing went right. Nothing went right. Home field advantage is gone in the NFL this season so far in the era of COVID. Road teams are 67-65-1 in 2020. No NFL season since the 1970 merger has ended with the home teams collectively below 500. Again, no fans in the stands. Fans, we miss you.
And lastly, I'm going to throw out a list of numbers, and you're going to tell me how one of these things is not like the other. So when we look across the league, there are five teams, right? So these are teams, when their offense is out there, they have the most number of snaps that their offense has the ball in their hand with the lead. The Chiefs, it makes sense. 327 snaps with the lead. They're 8-1. The Falcons, number two, 321 offensive snaps with the lead, right? Just six behind the Chiefs. They're 3-6. The Ravens, 299. They're 6-2. The Bills, 295. They're 7-2. And the Seahawks have 275 snaps, offensive snaps, while having the lead, and they are also 6-2. Telly, what are the Falcons doing, man?
That's a crazy stat. That's just a crazy stat, man. That's what we call going beyond the numbers right there. If that's not a beyond the numbers stat, then I don't know what is, y'all. I don't know what is.
Telly, let's wrap this thing up. We have our first female general manager in pro sports with the Miami Marlins. Well done, Marlins.
And she's also a person of color, so big shouts out to her. The NBA will be starting barely 2 months after they finished the 2019-2020 season. And we went into escrow with you guys, something I don't think we ever thought we'd discuss on the podcast, but we did.
Yeah, and LeBron's got to be mad because he's got to be tired. Thomas Brady was terrible on Sunday night on a nationally televised game that my partner in crime, Telly, could actually watch being out in San Diego, San Francisco.
I wish I was in San Diego. I love San Diego. I wish I was in San Diego.
San Jose, you're fine. There's a lot of sands over there.
Everything is a sands out here. We got the macOS update. You know, California just full of sands. Anyway, it's been a crazy week. That's like a perfect segue right there, because it has been a crazy week, a crazy 2 weeks with all the counting, some recounting, the stress, the tension. We hope that we could provide a bit of respite, some fun, some knowledge. We thank you guys for coming to hang out with us.
And if anyone talks politics to you, just ask them, have you gone beyond the numbers of sports this week? And if they haven't, you know what to do.
You know what to do. Remember to share us with your friends. Well, not us, you know, but the podcast. Well, you know what we mean. You know what we mean. And we're trying to grow the pod, so be sure you share it, text it, even email it to that crazy uncle of yours that only knows how to email. You know we all got that crazy uncle. You know you're going to see him at Thanksgiving, whether you see him virtually or in person. And he's going to say, did you open that email I sent you with the cat popping out of the box? He'd be like, did you open the email I sent you about Beyond the Numbers podcast? When you open my email, I'll open yours. And there you go. Then we're spreading the love. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. Thank you for going Beyond the Numbers with us. We're a weekly podcast dedicated to going beyond the numbers of sports and life to bring you the story within the story of the stories that matter. We're available on all major podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Whatever you're listening on now, please be sure to click the follow or subscribe button to get our latest content.
And remember, you can find us on Instagram, Beyond the Numbers Podcast, and on Twitter, at Beyond TN Podcast.
Until next time, peace.